Hello. I'm just starting to wake up. I'm in the U.S., so I guess I'll be brave and ask my question this morning. A few days ago in my meditation, I got very, very concentrated, very deep. I'm feeling energy was pulling me up, and the chitta felt like the chitta was separating from my body, from the body, and they're moving further and further away. I felt wonderful. There was a lot of clarity, but I started feeling any moment that the body would totally disappear, and I got scared, and I was afraid to let go, and I brought myself back, and I've done this before. Been afraid to let go, and I don't know what to do about that, why I don't keep going.
You have to prepare yourself.
Yep.
You have to prepare yourself. What is this? First of all, you have to think about. I mean, you're quite old, yeah?
Somebody has their speakers on.
Oh, okay, sorry. Okay. It's getting back.
I'll be 75 in a few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, sooner or later, we have to let go of this body, you know? Yeah? So prepare yourself. Yeah.
I'm trying to get ready for that, for dying.
Prepare yourself. Before you do meditation, tell yourself, whatever happens, let it happen. Yeah, whatever can disappear, let it disappear. Yeah? The body will not die if you go away. Huh? Even if you go away, you know, you can go for hours. Huh? Lumpuman was doing chongkram, you know, in the heavenly world. Yeah? Don't you want to see the heavenly world for a while? Huh? You can't use your physical body there. So before you start meditation, prepare yourself and say whatever happens, you know, let it happen. Whatever can disappear, let it disappear, and that's it. Yeah, and it might take a few times, until you are able to let go. Yeah, I mean. Be more interested in what is happening when you go out of the body. And also make the realization, when you see that the chitta is separating from the body, that the chitta and the body are two different things, yeah? It is a very important insight. Please, somebody put off his speakers, yeah? I hear an echo constantly coming back, and that really confuses me. Okay? Is it clear, John? No, nobody hears me at all.
Yes, I think it's clear, and I'll keep working at it.
Yeah, try it.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much.
Yeah? I mean, it is a lot of fun, yeah? Actually, you can.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun at first, and then it started getting nervous.
Yeah. Okay. So, any other questions?
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Thomas, you want to go ahead? You have to unmute.
Well, hi there. Thank you so much, Ajahn, Martin. It's Thomas and Panjama Horn in Chino Hills, California, once again. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning here.
Cool.
We stayed up and thought of our question about 2 hours ago, actually.
Mm.
Took us some time. Does relate to the business world. So wanted to start off by saying We think, we understand this question might not be appropriate to ask because we think it neither relates to Dhamma teaching nor appropriate to ask of the monastic community. But is there guidance you can offer those who are experienced independent business owner types who are on the five precepts, but just so happen to be consistently experiencing business income loss, but they're just persistently hanging on in hopes that eventually things will turn out for the better. Just looking for insights or guidance you could provide on that specific issue.
Mm. There are two things. If you are on the five precepts, then the other thing that you should start to do is do some meditation. I mean, do the Buddha meditation, you know, close your eyes, you know, sit comfortable and repeat the word Buddha or the mantra Buddha, yeah, until the mind gets very calm. Yeah? When the mind gets very calm, it seems to know the answers to your problems that you have. Yeah? Not the first time, not the second time, you know, but you have to try and try. Yeah? Before you go and do meditation, I mean, you ask the question that you want to know. Yeah, don't let it come from thoughts. Yeah, let it come from knowing. Yeah, and then do your meditation. Yeah, when we are getting calm, yeah, then we have the opportunity to see a few ways that we can walk. Yeah. Or a few ways or a few different directions that we can go. Yeah? Then the other thing is that you have to take into account is that the karma that you have created over your previous life, not this life, yeah, creates a situation that you are in. But that doesn't mean that you don't have other kinds of karma. Yeah? But in order for other karma to appear, You might have to go another way. Yeah? You have to look another path. Yeah? That wasn't in your ideas. Yeah? You understand that? Yeah? I mean, just like when you go through, what was it, Sacramento or San Francisco, or where are you?
Southern California, about an hour from Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. So when you're there, when you're in your town, I mean, you can go the main street, yeah? You know the main street, but there are lots of paths going to the right or to the left, yeah? And if you go to the left, other things, you will see other things, yeah? Than on the main street, yeah? If you go to the right, you see other things. And that is the same thing with our life, yeah? The main street is, you know, what we thought, you know, since we are children or since we are adults, you know, I mean, yes, I want to do this, I want to do that. But there are other opportunities that we can do. And these ones, we have to explore, yeah? And for that, we have to be to have a calm mind, yeah? A mind that is not concerned about the future. A mind that can see clearly the opportunities or the ways that we can go, yeah? This is all what I can say about it. Yeah. But you should do
so. I completely understand. Is it more or less that the answer comes from within when meditating?
Yeah.
And repeating the puto mantra.
Yeah.
And of course, looking at life in like a more of a busy street that has different pathways.
Yes, but don't think about it. The interesting is we don't think about it. We just look in our heart, yeah? Before we do the meditation, we ask the question where we want to have an answer, yeah? And then we start the meditation with the Buddha until the mind comes completely calm, yeah? I mean, you can do it, or your business partner can do it, whoever can do it, you know? And so things become more clearer when we don't think and don't have any ideas. Yeah. Then the heart.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's quite amazing. So things become clearer the less you think about them. Was that it?
Yes.
Without thought becomes the clear reality.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
You're welcome.
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Very insightful. Thank you, Prada John Martin. I believe Panjima Porn is going to ask a question later in Thai, so she's waving her hand.
Okay.
Thank you for your time. Thank you. Okay.
Do you want to start asking a question?
What happened to Windy? Fell asleep, or?
Hello?
No, I think there's some echo. Maybe just use one device.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it far better?
Yeah, now it's fine.
Can I? Okay. Gap namaskar pra Ajahn Martin. Recently, about a week ago, I actually started practicing walking meditation from the apartment that we live to pharmacy store, buy stuff. Because of the one reason that you advise, try to start walking meditation, and I use that. And we also just sold out one of our car. Is that the right thing to do?
What was with the car? I didn't understand that.
Oh, can we just sold our car?
Because oh, you sold your car. Oh, okay.
Yes, because the economic situation, inflation here in California and also other states, in America.
Yeah.
So we actually sold our car because we took the advice from, actually, I think you were advised like try to do walking meditation.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that my first step that I should keep doing it like. Don't have a car. Just keep walking when you go from here to there.
I mean, that is a wonderful idea, but that wasn't the advice I was given. Yeah.
I'm sorry though, but your tone of voice came.
No, I mean doing walking meditation means actually, having a start point and having an end point. Yeah, and while we go towards the end point, I mean we determine that until we reach the end point, we are with our Buddha meditation. So we are with the Buddha or we are with the breath. And then when we reach the end point, then we turn around and face the starting point and say, okay, this path I just will be with the Buddha. Yeah. But of course you can use the when you go from this shop to that shop or from here to there. I mean, you can also use the Buddha while you do walking meditation. It is much, much healthier than to think about this and to think about that while you do walking meditation, yeah? While you walk, yeah? Okay? Is that understood? Yeah?
Okay. Thank you, Prada Jonathan.
But, it's a great idea to sell your car, especially with these excellent... these oil prices in California, $7 a gallon or was something like that, or?
Yes, it's right now, it's kind of down a little bit right now. Mm. It's about $5.40, It's a lot of battle out here, project nothing, the energy is not really great, And most of the time, we actually stay home and, and try to listen to the Dharma instead of going on other channel, pretty much, and we own our own business from home. So I'm trying to put the thing together so maybe it will help calming all my mind. And I actually meditate every day.
Okay.
But right now I'm putting a walking meditation on it.
Yeah.
So I hope I know it's going to take time, but I have to use a lot of my patience in it. And, I hope it's a good thing coming along. So,
just realize there will be good times, when the mind gets really calm, there will be good times. But there will be also very difficult times, you know, coming up, yeah? So don't despair, yeah? And for the walking meditation, as I explained, yeah? I mean, go to a park, yeah? Find a starting point and find an end point in about, you know, 30 meters different, yeah? And then do really walking meditation, because that really gets you calm. Yeah? Just like it, yeah?
And, it's another question is like, and try to talk to my husband less. Is it better? Because every time we talk more, it seems to be a lot of
that. I mean, if conflict. It's okay, if he's okay with this, yeah, fine, yeah, yeah. I mean, the less you talk, I mean, the better it is, of course, yeah. But don't think, yeah. The important thing is, if you don't talk, you know, also stop thinking about, you know, what is going on, yeah? That is even better.
Okay, so, what do you mean, like, stop thinking about what's going on? Like, I'm not sure what, are you...
While you're doing things, yeah, like you're washing dishes or washing clothes or you know, dusting the home or vacuum, you know, I mean, or do this or do that, or plant, you know, plant your plants and whatever you do. If you don't need to use your thoughts, yeah, you stay with the Buddha all the time. From the morning, yeah. I mean, if you're on the computer, of course you can't use Buddha, yeah. Or if you're on your phone, you can't use Buddha. But any other task, yeah, you can use the Buddha, and that, you know, that stops, you know, the mainstream of thinking, yeah? Okay?
It's funny when you say that, don't talk. Thomas is my husband, when he do garden, and then sometimes we see animal like squirrel come in.
Yeah.
And we say, we give the name to the squirrel, like Billy.
Yeah.
Hi, Billy. That's not good, right, Ajahn Martin? Or we just...
That is okay. But while you do the planting, yeah, have your Buddha in mind, yeah? Don't think about this or don't think about that, yeah? Just try to stay much more in the present moment of what you're doing. Feel, you know, feel the bodily movements, yeah? And stay with the Buddha, yeah? That's what I mean. Of course, you know, if you see a squirrel, you know, say, hello, Billy, come here, there's some food, yeah? So whatever, yeah?
Yeah, we actually have a bowl of water for them. But, you know, they are free animals, so it's not like we have a dog, you know? Mm. We actually enjoy watching them. But I was thinking, like, should we just, like, if they pop up again, should we just say hi? Or it just...
Whatever you feel like, but there's a good thing you just mentioned, watching them. While you observe them, yeah, it is the same way that you use in meditation. You observe your breath, or you observe the Buddha in the same way that you observe, you know, this squirrels, yeah? You cannot change the squirrel. You only know what the squirrel is doing. And that is the same thing when you observe the Buddha. You only know what the Buddha is doing, yeah? That is a very important factor in our practice, to know what is going on at every moment, at any time.
Does that mean our mind is shooting to the squirrel and it's not staying in the body?
This I did not understand. What did you ask?
Okay, when we I say hi to the squirrel, yeah? Does that mean my mind already shoot out from my body?
Of course. I mean, it doesn't shoot out from the body, but, you know, I mean, you perceive something and react to what you perceive, yeah? So the mind goes outside, and it is not inside, yeah? I mean, don't try... Don't try everything at the same time, yeah? Just slowly, 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 yeah? Okay?
We have a habit of that, Ajahn Martin, so different sometimes, you know?
Just one thing at a time, yeah? Not everything at all, because that will just create chaos and you don't get anywhere, yeah? So fix your walking meditation, fix your sitting meditation, and then slowly, you know, get into the other things once the mind gets calm. Okay?
Okay, I will take that. I will take that and put it into the action. Okay, Ajahn Martin, I really thank you very much. Okay?
Yeah.
And I hope you stay in good health, long life, and other monks too.
I hope. Okay. Okay, so next question. Yeah.
Next, Leana, do you want to unmute also?
Yeah, thank you, Ajahn. My question is, Buddhism always talk about meditation. My question is, is the self-healing meditation is part of Buddha teaching? Self-healing meditation.
Self-healing meditation. I don't know what you understand self-healing meditation.
Yeah, because in Buddhism, like we always talk about meditation.
Yeah.
So there's this meditation, self-healing meditation, right? When you do the meditation, like you concentrate on your breathing, there's process. Like you need to open the chakra in your from below your ribs there.
Buddhist meditation. Buddhist meditation has nothing to do with the chakras. That's not Buddhist meditation. Yeah. When we do meditation, then we concentrate on the breath, and observe it around the tip of the nose, until the mind gets completely calm. When the mind is calm, the body has the energy to heal itself. When we think a lot, when we are constant in our thoughts, when we worry about this, when we worry about that, the body does not have the energy to heal itself. I mean, the body knows how to heal itself. Yeah? And with the meditation, I mean, we give him the opportunity to use the energy of the body to heal itself. While we are doing the observing the breath. That's it. You know, that is the healing aspect of meditation. Yeah? So, for instance, you know, when you're really sick, you know, I mean, and if you really concentrate and until there are no more thoughts, no things. I mean, sometimes, you know, the sickness is gone when you come out of meditation. We are worrying, and that's why the sickness stays on and gets worse and worse and worse. We run to the doctor, take this medicine, take that medicine, you know, and then actually the sickness gets worse. If you would just, you know, concentrate, not all of the sicknesses, you know, but some of it, I mean, some of it relieves the body and it has the energy to heal itself. You know it, you know, I mean, if you cut yourself up, you don't have to tell the body to heal itself. It does have the energy to heal itself, and it has the ways to heal itself. It's the same thing, you know, if you get in contact with the virus, I mean, the body has the energy, you know, to fight the virus. But if you are worried about, you know, this virus or that virus, I mean, then the body does not have the energy. We need all the energy in our head, you know, to think about all of these things and worry about all these things. You understand that?
Okay, Ajahn. I think I get what you mean.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone to go next? Vijay, I saw your question. Do you want to ask it yourself? Yeah, you can go ahead. Vijay, are you there? Well, I guess there's something wrong with his audio. Well, anyone else want to go first? Okay, raise your hand. Carlos?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh.
Mm. Hello, Darajan. Greetings from USA.
Oh.
Darajan, I've been practicing for a few years now, and I've been having like lots of memories from the past that they kind of like attack me with remorse, and that it's not even sometimes not even necessarily something wrong that I have done. It's just that it's kind of like remorse of losing, you know, wasting time in my past, not doing, you know,
whatever,
that are kind of vain, or you know, and not concentrating, or even finding the path before.
Mm.
So, and what I do is just kind of like patient endurance.
Mm.
Just wait until it goes away. But it still happens a lot, and I think actually it's becoming more and more as I progress, or well, I think I progress. I don't know, as I practice. That's what I'm trying to say. So I don't know. I've been hearing advice from certain agents on YouTube about just, you know, just don't pay attention, just keep on going on your path, and it will eventually go away.
The advice is good. Yeah, I mean, replace when a memory comes up, replace it just with the word Buddha or with the attention on the breath. If, however, if you see that a certain kind of memory comes up very often, it's the same kind of memory that comes up often, and you feel remorse or whatever, then after your meditation, yeah, bring up this memory, forgive yourself, and you might have to do it, forgive yourself, or ask forgiveness if you have done something to others. Ask for the forgiveness of others. You don't have to write them a letter. You don't have to call them. Just ask with your mind, please, this person, you know, may you forgive me for my bad actions. Yeah? That's what you do. Yeah? Or if you do something wrong, you know, I mean, forgive yourself. And you do that a few times. And then, yeah, they don't come again. Once you do that, yeah? And all the things, all the memories that come in, you know, are just once or twice, you know, I mean, just forget about them, yeah? They try to keep you interested, you know, and make you feel sorry or whatever. And that is, we don't pay interest to them, yeah? Just like we don't pay interest to people who are not really interesting, who doesn't interest us, you know, they talk about this, they talk about that, and we really don't want to listen to that, yeah? So we don't want to listen to these memories that are coming up, yeah? But if a memory constantly comes up and starts bothering us, it's always the same, then after our meditation, I mean, we bring up this memory, you know, and then do something, forgive ourselves or ask forgiveness of other people, yeah? And then it normally doesn't happen more than 3 or 4 times, yeah? Or maybe 10 times, yeah? And then this memory won't come again, yeah? If we truly do it with our heart, you know, ask for forgiveness for ourselves or for other people, yeah?
Yes, thank you, Tanya. Yes, but like I said, sometimes it's kind of like, it's mostly like this remorse of being, you know, I'm already 50 years old. Kind of like the remorse of not having encountered or understood the path as I'm doing it now, and I know that is stupid, that is pointless.
Yeah.
But it still bothers me. In that case, it won't be forgiveness. It will be like, what should I do about that?
I can't help it. I mean, just tell yourself, I can't help it. I didn't get into contact with the Dhamma earlier, so I can't help it. You know, whatever is gone, you know, is gone. You know, and we cannot remedy it. Yeah, it's also that is one important thing. Yeah, whatever we have done in the past, yeah, we cannot remedy anymore. Yeah, we can only accept it that it is a fact. Hmm? And whatever comes in the future, we don't know. Yeah, so we cannot really prepare ourselves for the future. Yeah? But what happens right now in the present moment? I mean, be happy. Yeah. I mean, tell yourself, oh wow, you know, look at Joanne. She is 70. You know, I mean, I got it already with 50. Yeah. Huh? I myself, you know, I mean, I was 31. You know, and ordained when I was 38. Yeah. So I mean, compared to all the Asian, you know, all the Asian monks who ordained with 20, you know, I mean, I wasted so much time. Yeah. So, I mean, whenever we get to the Dhamma, you know, it is also part of our karma, you know, whenever we get to the Dhamma, we are grateful. At least I got it with 50. Yeah. There are other people, you know, other people, you know, we're staying in a branch monastery of Lumpur Khao. I mean, Lumpur Khao, you know, started to practicing when he was 60. Yeah. And but then he was really practicing, you know, very hard. And within 20 years, he reached arahantship. Yeah. So some people take a little bit longer. Yeah. And we can use actually our life experience, you know, to overcome some of the hindrances that a 20-year-old cannot. I mean, because we have passed through a lot of things. Yeah. So, I mean, it can be an advantage. So think about it like this, yeah?
Yes, thank you. I'm actually editing and my life and trying to simplify it and progress into having the intention of going for as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that sometimes that bugs me a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much, Tanajan. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Carlos. Sorry, I can't pronounce it. Odia, do you want to go ahead?
Yes, sure. Thank you very much. Greetings, Ajahn. My name is Olo. I'm tuning in from Nairobi, Kenya.
Oh.
I've been meditating for a few years now, but I find that I'm really struggling between balancing my normal mundane life and my spiritual practice, because I find that when I start to become serious with meditating, my normal life takes a backseat.
Mm.
And when I start concentrating on, you know, my work and family, my spiritual practice takes a backseat. So I'm really finding that hard to balance, and it's causing agitation inside of me.
Mm. How many hours are you practicing? Yeah, when you are serious with your practice? About
at least 2 hours every day.
Yeah, that is. I mean, that shouldn't interfere with your family, and it shouldn't interfere with your work. What you do is, yeah, I mean, how many hours do you sleep? 6-8 hours?
At least 6 hours,
yeah. So take 1 hour off, yeah, and then use it for meditation. And before you go to sleep, make another hour. So in the rest of the day, try to have sati, yeah. Know what is going on, yeah. And the best thing is actually when you come back home from work, yeah, I mean, just take 5 or 10 minutes, yeah, to make the mind calm, and then reflect about what was going on during the day. Yeah? What did you do? What did you think? What kind of feelings came up? This kind of practice, yeah, can give you so much time, yeah, that you waste during the day, doing this, doing that, not knowing what you're doing, yeah, that you then will have to do some more practice. You understand a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I call it daily reflection. So, I mean, listen to some talks where I explain daily reflection. It is not about judging what we are doing. It is about knowing what we are doing. Yeah. And then the heart sees. Eh? I mean, I give you an example of my own practice. Huh? when I was, you know, when I was working, yeah, when I went to work, you know, I mean, until I sat down on my desk, you know, I was really very, very mindful, yeah, very aware, you know, what was going on. And then I took the first literature, and then I was gone for 8 hours. Yeah. But what I noticed with this daily reflection is, whenever I had a talk with a colleague, yeah, I didn't actually want to talk to this colleague, yeah, and that really, you know, that really increased the time, and we got into a little bit of fight and so on, yeah, because I didn't want to let go of my own thoughts, of my own work, and I didn't really want to listen what he has to say. And then over the time, I tried to practice. Okay, when somebody comes, yeah, and wants something from me, I put all my attention on him. And then I noticed once I did this, I mean, the topic was over within 5 minutes, what used to last for half an hour, yeah, because I really didn't want to interact with this person, yeah. So you see these things through the daily reflection, you see these things, yeah, and it makes your day lighter, yeah, and it makes, you know, I mean, it makes your working experience much more like a practicing experience, okay?
Okay, Ajahn, I have indeed seen the videos where you talk about daily reflection. I suppose I should start doing that more often.
Okay.
No, I'm trying to start.
You're welcome. I have to ask my Mechis, how is the daily reflection going? Huh? I get only smiles, yeah, from my monks as well, yeah. And I always tend to forget it. How is it with the lay people? Do you do your daily reflection? Huh? Only smiles, yeah. That means no. Once in a while or what?
Once in a while.
The Kilesas don't want to see what we are doing and why we are doing. That's why it's so difficult in the beginning to get the daily reflection working. No? Yeah? Mithi Sunanda. No? Okay, so next question. Yeah? Sani, are you still there?
Good evening, Ajahn.
Huh?
Good evening, Ajahn.
Okay.
I just wanted to know about the ordination process.
About what?
I came in regarding my practice.
Yeah.
I came in contact with Buddhism in 2018. So, but I am not a daily practitioner, as an intense practitioner, you call.
Yeah.
So, currently I am not practicing. But seeing a lot of cases which I'm very difficult to face the challenges. So one thought process is came into my mind that I have to take an ordination. But parallelly, one thought process is again arises that how can you do when you are not able to practice in daily life? So I just want to know you from what should I do?
I mean, before you think about ordination, why don't you stay in a monastery for 1, 2, 3 weeks, yeah? And then you see how it is, yeah? I mean, of course it is very difficult, you know, in the worldly life, especially, you know, if you have a very demanding job to do, yeah? to stay concentrated and not to think, yeah? And all these things, you know, that happen, you know, on a daily basis, yeah, going shopping, you know, or doing this or doing that, meeting the people, yeah, I mean, it costs a lot of energy. And it is difficult, you know, to cut this out, yeah, in the beginning, until we really get a mind that is very calm, and then it is much easier to cut it out, yeah, to see what is going on. Also what I talked about with the daily reflection, to see what is going on. But first of all, you have to make your mind calm. Yeah? If the mind is not calm, it starts to think about this, and then it looks at this opportunity, it looks at that opportunity, or it looks at this idea and looks at that idea, and in the end it cannot decide which idea is good. But if the mind is calm, it knows what it wants, yeah, and it can also let go, yeah. That is the whole idea. So I mean, stay at a monastery or stay at a Goenka course. I don't know where you're from, yeah. Stay at a Goenka course, you know, for 10 days and really get the mind completely calm. And then afterwards, you know, you see the feeling that arises, that arises in the citta, you know. I mean, if it is good, you know, I mean, if you like it. And you also see if it is easy, you know, to cut loose of the world, yeah. That is one important thing that you have to see. Is it easier for you to cut loose, you know, even for 10 days or for 3 weeks, to cut loose of the world and only be interested in sitting meditation, walking meditation? Yeah?
I just want to add here one thing here.
Yeah?
That I have completed 10-day courses,
yeah,
from Yasan Goenka retreat,
yeah,
which is for three times. But since that, in starting phase of my meditation, I was a continual practitioner. I was doing regularly 1 hour at the morning and evening.
Yeah.
But later on, it stopped completely.
Oh.
So the sexual arousedness and the hatred and greed started coming out. And I lose control over myself.
You lose control over the body or what? Or you lose
the body.
Then the important thing is, what is happening before you start to lose control of the body? And are you actually afraid to lose control of the body? I mean, if you are very clearly, if you are very clearly with the breath, you know, you probably take the breath, anapanasati, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah? If you take the breath, or if you take the Buddha, yeah? I mean, stay with the Buddha or stay with anapanasati, yeah? And whatever it is, you know, whatever, yeah? Whatever comes up in the mind, we have to be aware of it. Most of the practitioners who practice for a long time, yeah, I mean, they stay with the Buddha until there's a nice calm feeling coming up, and then they stay with the nice calm feeling and all sorts of things, yeah, but they are not practicing anymore. When the mind gets calm, then we should be much more observant. I mean, how is the breath at this moment? How is the Buddha at this moment? How does it change from one moment to the next? Yeah? And the more we know about the breath, the more also, at the same time, the know we more about what is going on in the heart, yeah? Because the knowing of the what is going on with the breath comes from the same place, yeah? Comes from the heart. So even if you do walking meditation, you know, even if you go very, very, have very good sati, you know, and go through the streets, we don't have to look up to actually know what is going on, yeah? This knowingness, you know, when we stay with the Buddha, when we stay with the breath, this knowingness is there and it knows things. Eh? So, and then, before you lose control of your body, you know, and see what is going on. Eh? Because the citta normally tells us what it's going to, what it has up to, what it has up to its sleeves, you know, I mean, mostly the kilesas are doing this thing, or it is something else. Eh? But then, you know, I mean, observe it, you know, and ask, and find out, you know, what is going on before you lose control of the body, and then let me know exactly what is going on, yeah? Next time, yeah? Okay?
Right. Thank you, Ajahn.
Thanks, Vijay. Anyone else with questions to us? If not, we can move on to the submit questions submitted online. Okay. So, first question. It seems like my Kalyana Mitra is having trouble admitting that they are wrong and seems to hide, ignore, or not be open to someone mentioning their faults. How can I help them?
If they don't come to see you and ask you for advice, don't try to mend their problems, try to mend your own problems. What is it? Normally when we see, you know, our Kalyana Mitra, you know, has some problems. I mean, what we see is actually our own problems, you know, that we project onto another person. So first mend the problems in your own heart before you try to help somebody else. Next.
Okay. Dear Longpo, my question is with regard to pain investigation. While meditating, pain arose, and I followed Longpo's advice and breathed in the pain, accepted it. Then I started to focus on the pain and observe if it was point-wise, area-wise, and took note of its impermanent nature of fluctuating from very pain to slight or no pain. The pain began to shift, and I was able to observe it shifting to different places. As I was observing and following the pain, out of the blue, the statement, "I see table and the table is not me," appeared, and immediately I was able to relate it to seeing the pain, to my seeing the pain. And the pain, just like the table, is not me. It was a very strange and clear knowing experience. I don't know if it was Kilesa talking, since it was a knowing rather than feeling, but I could be wrong. Am I on the right track?
You're completely on the right track. That is how it is to be done. Yeah, it is a knowing experience. You know, you see, you completely separate from the pain. Yeah, and you see it. Yeah? I mean, if she went out, then she could see that it actually arises in the heart, the pain. Yeah, and it is not within the body. Yeah? If she has not been done, you know, if she has not followed the pain until she clearly sees it in the heart. Yeah, I mean, then just go on. Yeah. But it is certainly the right track, yeah? That's how you should do it. Okay, next.
Okay, next. Dear Longpo, some Dhamma talks in YouTube can be quite long. I know we should have more sati and choose appropriate time to listen to Dhamma, but being unmindful, sometimes we make mistakes and listen late at night. Halfway we get sleepy and are unable to concentrate anymore. Are we allowed to stop and continue another time? If we continue to force ourselves to listen, we might end up nodding off or have mind wandering somewhere else, and this would be very disrespectful. So what is the right thing to do under such circumstances? Do we sit through the talk feeling tired and unconcentrated, or can we stop and continue another day?
You can do it as you wish. You can stop, you know, and continue at another day. That's fine, you know, I mean, because then you're more aware of what is saying, yeah. But also, you know, it is not disrespectful to nod off during doing a talk, yeah. It has nothing to do. I mean, you have the intention to listen to the talk, and while that, yeah. And sometimes, you know, while that, you get very calm, yeah. And normally when the chitta gets very calm, it gets very tired, yeah, and it falls asleep, yeah. That's fine. Then just listen the next time to the same talk again. So I don't see any problem. Yes, Linda? Yeah, I see somebody else is saying as well, yeah? Huh? So it's no problem to not off doing a talk, yeah? Just listen to it again, yeah? So, next question.
If there are termites in our home, and we get the pest control to solve the problem, are we breaking the precept of killing?
Yes. Try to sweep. I mean, get the pest control to get rid of it, but not kill the termites. Yeah. Find some way. You know, there are some natural ways. You know how what you can do. You know to discourage the termites, you know, to eat up your home. We have the same problems, yeah. I mean, we just use some oil bands, you know, where the termites don't get over, yeah. Or sometimes we just have to brush them out, you know, and replace the wood that they eat up, yeah.
The follow-up question is, if you are not sure whether there are termites in our home, can we get pest control to maintain and prevent termites regularly?
Of course, yes, yeah. The problem is if you ask the pest control to kill the termites, yeah, then you have a problem with the precept. If you don't ask them to kill them, if you ask them to prepare so that they cannot enter your house, then you have no problem, yeah. But if you ask them to get rid of the termites, yeah, then you have a problem. Then you break the precept, yeah, of killing animals, yeah. Find a way, you know, how to protect yourself from termites? I mean, everybody who is living in Southeast Asia, you know, I mean, who's living in a wooden building knows the problems, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, we have mice, you know, so we have we catch them, you know, and let them go somewhere else, yeah? Sometimes we catch snakes, you know, and let them go somewhere else, but we don't kill them, yeah? Okay, so next question.
When my mind gets calm doing anapanasati, on rare occasions I feel ecstatic pity while seeing a round shape appearing. The intensity throws me off then. I also get confused where I should direct my attention then. I could never get past this point. It happens too rarely such that I could get familiar with this and become familiar with it. How can I advance here? German answer is okay. Thanks.
What did you say? Round shape?
Okay. Round shape.
Oh, round shape. Yeah. I mean it is normally the shape of light, yeah? When you see the shape of light and you start and your concentration is going deeper and deeper, so you're more with your Buddha and you're more with your breath, yeah? Then this light gets more and more intensified, yeah? And it seems to distract us, or it can distract us. So what you can do then is take the light that you see and, you know, slowly pull it into your heart, yeah? So that the concentration that is now going outside is not with the Buddha, is not with the breath, that you pull together with the light, you pull your concentration inside your heart, yeah? That's all what you can do. And then sometimes these can have amazing results, yeah? Okay, next question.
Next question. What is the Buddhist perspective on depression?
Depression is an emotion. An emotion starts with the first first thought or first feeling or first memory, yeah? One could very easily overcome depression when one does meditation and one sees the first thought, you know, and stops at this thought. As I explained very often, an emotion is something, it is just like sugar candy, yeah? You have a hot pan, you throw in some sugar, yeah? And then you whirl around and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, in the end, you know, it completely involves you, yeah? Envelops you. Or it's the same with an avalanche. I mean, you throw in a stone and, you know, and each time, you know, it rolls down, it takes on snow and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, yeah? And it becomes so big that we can't face up, yeah? And if that happens often, then you get really into a depression. So without meditation, you will not be able to catch it. You will not be able to mend it. You can mend it, you know, by being aware of what is happening and then disrupt this chain of thought, yeah? And then all these feelings are gone, all these emotions are gone for the moment, yeah? They will come back, but then you can disrupt it again until it, you know, and then look at the first thought, you know, what created all this problem, yeah? It's laughable, yeah? So that is what she can do, or what he can do. Yeah? Okay. Next question.
The next question. The daily reflection that you talk about, is that somehow helped by a practitioner's sati?
What? Kept
helped.
What?
Is it helped? I think by a practitioner.
Is it helpful, or?
Is it helped by a practitioner's sati?
Does sati help?
Or does it help? Of course it helps. Very much, yeah? Because in order to recollect, you know, what is happening, yeah? I mean, it helps, in, it helps memory, yeah? It helps memory and it helps your sati. Because when something happens, you know, it is unpleasant, something happens during the day, huh? In the evening or in the morning, we put our attention and said, let me have more sati in these kind of situations where I face, you know, these difficulties, so that I truly know what is going on. And in the evening, I check, yeah, did I have enough sati, you know, And sometimes, you know, I mean, it, over time it gets slowly better. Yeah? But each time, you know, we have to determine to have in this situation, just when this situation occurs, we have more sati. Just knowing, not judging, sati, just being aware of what is going on. Okay? Next question.
I think the question is also asking, like, does sati helps with the daily reflection?
Of course, enormously. Yeah?
Yeah. Next one is just a comment to say thank you for suggesting the book A Life of Inner Quality, which I found very original and useful.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. We all have to pay for our karma. When we see someone beaten, such as domestic violence in public, do we try to interfere? Do we try to stop or not interfere at all?
It is a very difficult question. Sometimes we help, if we can help, without you know, producing more pain on the people, you know, involved, yeah? And sometimes we have to stay away. I can't give you a definite answer. The answer should be in the person, yeah? The person who observes this violence, I mean, what is going on in their heart? If they detest this violence, first of all, they have to get rid of the anger. Because this anger makes them doing the wrong things. And then, let's see what the heart says. Can we help or not help? But there is no general solution to that. Yeah? Neither, you know, sometimes it is good not to interfere, sometimes it is good, you know, to help, yeah? But that depends really on the situation. But in some cases, you know, we just, yeah, when we see domestic violence, I mean, we can call the cops, you know, they should deal with it. Yeah? If they come. Yeah? Okay, next question.
So this is the last question. Dear sir, how important is the time of the day for meditation? Is early morning when the sun rises of spending? Is the morning when the sun rises of any special importance? Isn't meditation after sunset as beneficial as the one in the morning?
That really depends on each character. I mean, sometimes for me, and it does change over the course of our practice, sometimes for me, you know, the most valuable time, you know, for meditation was between 11 night and 2 o'clock in the morning, and sometimes it was more beneficial in the morning after 5 o'clock, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, or sometimes it was very beneficial, you know, in the evening, yeah? So it does change. There is no time, you know, that is beneficial. The beneficial time that we choose during the day is a time where we can concentrate very well. So if you can concentrate very well in the morning when you just got up, yeah, that's fine, then take this time, yeah? If you can concentrate very well, you know, just when when you come back home from work, you know, or when you're finished with your thing, then choose this time, yeah? Most of the people cannot concentrate very well when they are tired, yeah? So, I mean, don't choose the time, you know, before you go to sleep. Next question, yeah?
Ajahn, that's all the questions we have. Anyone else? Any questions that they want to ask?
Do we have additional questions? One minute?
Two, and one is maybe not worth it.
Yeah, okay. So if nobody has some more questions, we have over, I think it's from the YouTube channel, we have some questions. They seem to be long, yeah?
No, it's just this two.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so...
I stopped practicing meditation a few months ago. I was not able to focus on the breath, feeling restless during my meditation practice, but I do listen to Dhamma talks that helped me heal it for some time. But again, I can feel that restlessness during my work time and after coming home, it's normal. How do I focus on the breath during this period of time, and which Supta chanting you would suggest me to do to come out of this restlessness?
Yeah, the restlessness will stay with us for, you know, until shortly before we become an arahant, yeah? So, now, how to deal with this restlessness? Okay, if you get calm, when I used to feel very restless, I mean, I listened to one of the talks of Lukta Mahabua, yeah? And then it, exactly, you know, that makes me already calm. Yeah? It really made me calm down. And after I listened to the talk, I started meditation. I started focusing on the breath, or I focused on the Buddha. Yeah? If he has problems with the breath, then he should start, you know, to do the Buddha, yeah? During the day. Yeah? That's all what I can say. He has to overcome the restlessness. I mean, the longer he sways, you know, I mean, not to deal with the restlessness, I mean, the more difficult will it be, yeah? I mean, in the morning he should use, you know, I mean, before he goes to work, yeah? I mean, that is perfect time before he does anything else, yeah? I mean, the mind is most of the time pretty much empty, yeah? So, I mean, do half an hour of meditation, yeah, or do 45 minutes of meditation or an hour of meditation before you do anything else, huh? Before you eat, have your breakfast or before you go to work. Yeah? And when you come back home from work, you do the same thing. Yeah, I mean, try, you know, I mean, if it works out, you know, in the beginning, if it works out only for 20 minutes, do the Buddha, 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 not interested or not interested, whatever it takes, yeah, to get the mind calm. If you listen to a talk, what I normally find very helpful, yeah, listening to a talk makes my heart, you know, very calm, and then afterwards I do the meditation. You also should try to go to a park and do walking meditation. That is really helpful. Yeah? I don't know where he lives, yeah, where this person lives. Yeah, I mean, just go to the forest, you know, where it is quiet, and then do some walking meditation as I described. Next question. Yeah?
Listening to the talk, sitting or walking, is one better or worse, depending on the situation? While you listen to the talk, with the restlessness, is it better or worse? Or?
I personally wouldn't listen to a talk while I do walking meditation, because the mind is already so busy with walking, you know, I mean, to get really into. I love it, you know, when I do the sitting meditation, especially if it is difficult, just to listen to the voice, yeah, within my heart, yeah. So I would never do walking. Personally, I would never do walking, because I mean the mind is already occupied with walking meditation, yeah. So by listening to a talk, I mean you really cannot concentrate, yeah. The next and last question, yeah.
It's a little preface. This person has written us many times, kind of strange questions. So this is kind of a summary of some of what you...
Yeah, yeah, it's just a summary, yeah.
In summary, this man works in a family business, but an employee from a nearby shop became abusive with him and had tried to kill him through a hitman. In response, he yelled at the employee and warned him that trying to have him killed was illegal. So that employee quit his job. Now he feels remorse that his reaction led them to lose their job, and he wonders if he made bad karma. It sounds a little bit like schizophrenic paranoia, to be honest, the mail that he writes. This is the question.
I mean, if somebody comes in here and threatens me to kill him, you know, then of course, you know, when I'm in the world, you know, I'll ask for some assistance from security, you know, and police, you know, whatever happens to him, you know. I mean, this is not of my karma, yeah. I didn't do a... I mean, he has to look, you know, in situation how he responded to this other employee, yeah, if there's some bad karma. But there is no bad karma, you know, that he got fired or whatever, or that he left his job on. You know. So I wouldn't think of it. Very difficult, you know, to answer these kind of questions. You know, I mean, he has to know the state of his mind. So. And he has to, you know, I mean, intention is that what creates the karma, yeah? It's really intention that creates the karma. It's not, you know, what we do that creates the karma. It's the intention. Yeah? It's the intention, and then, of course, the doing itself that creates the karma. If I have the intention to kill my mother and don't do anything, you know, I mean, I don't get the karma, yeah? But that thought is already a bad, very bad thought. This kind of karma will come back to me, but as a thought, yeah? If I voice it out, yeah, I'm going to kill you, you know, I mean, this, yeah, and I don't do anything on that voicing out or on this word, yeah, it will come back to me, you know, in form of voice, yeah? But it's very different from actually to kill somebody. I mean, it's hard work, yeah? And you have to overcome so many obstacles, you know, for a person. So that is something, you know, when the intention becomes that. And sometimes we say, you know, I'm going to kill you, and really don't have the intention to kill him, yeah? Yeah? Most of the time, you know, it's just because of we are angry. So, I mean, this kind of karma doesn't come back to us. Eh? Intention, you know, I mean, if I really have the intention to kill somebody, but don't, you know, and then my conscience reaps in and says, are you stupid? Yeah? Don't want to have this karma. Okay, so everything clear, yeah? When is Brunei coming to see me in, yeah? Huh? He's still afraid. He's still afraid to travel. I mean, don't wait too long, yeah? I say, don't wait too long, yeah?
We just had we had our injection, the third injection already. Last one.
Okay, so then you can come along, yeah? Your house is still waiting for you.
Cannot fix the time.
Cannot fix what?
Cannot fix the time yet.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Some
yeah, yeah. I'm still waiting, so okay. So, everybody of you, you know, I hope it helps, you know. until the next time then, yeah.
Thank you, Tarjan. Have a good Vasa for the next upcoming 3 months. Then let's all pay respects to Tajan together. Yeah. Thank you, Tajan. See you in the next session.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
So, are there any questions from you?
About the talk and the walking, it's all in the women's area. I think walking and listening to talks is
what?
Walking and listening to talks is very common amongst all of the women.
Yes.
So it's not.
I mean, the type. It is not wrong.
Okay.
But I wouldn't really.
Not a good habit to get
into. I wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, it's for the people, you know, who really can't get a foot, yeah, on the ground, you know. I mean, they use two or three methods, you know, just to get a little bit calm, yeah. No, it's not wrong, you know, I didn't say that. It's not wrong to do, you know, to listen to a talk while you do walking meditation. But actually, you know, use the walking meditation, use the occupation of the chitta, of the 50 or 60% that the chitta needs to do the walking, yeah. And then you have only the rest of it, you know, to concentrate, yeah? So that's what I personally found really helpful, yeah? To really get very fast calm, especially if you have a start point and an end point, yeah? And you say, just this one part, yeah? Not for next 5 hours. Then you stop instantly, yeah? Because it's boring, yeah? No, just this one part. And then you turn around, just this one part. And then you can walk for hours without even realizing that you walk for hours, yeah? Okay, any other question? No? Alex? No problems? Samuel, so you're leaving next week or what?
Yes, on Tuesday.
What?
19, on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. You still can stay here?
Oh, yes, I have to prepare for school.
For school? Ah, okay. I wouldn't like to go back to Europe, huh? I mean, England is getting worse, you know, all the inflation rise. Sweden, I think, you know, I mean, it is also, all of Europe. Sweden wants to get into the NATO, yeah? They want to fight Russia. In England, you know, the general of the army in England said, okay, soldiers, we have to prepare for war with Russia. They're all crazy. They can't, you know, it's just like they're itching to, you know, get killed, yeah. Sometimes I can't understand these people, yeah? getting this itch to kill, you know, to inflict pain, you know, and inflict pain on others, yeah. I mean, even if you inflict pain on others, you know, we will feel the pain first before the other, and the other might not feel the same kind of pain that we feel, yeah. We do it onto ourselves, and that is that nobody realizes it, yeah? If we're really angry, if we really do some harm to other people, we do the harm to ourselves, yeah? Because the other person is just a part of us. But the world does not understand. Okay, so, yeah, practice, yeah, it's nice, so you can do a lot of walking meditation. Until it starts raining again, yeah. For the moment, it has been clear of rain for 1.5 days, yeah. Okay.